Good evening and welcome. I am your host, Goblin Queen, and tonight I am going to do a follow-up on a video I did in the past, previously on Goblin Queen. I did a video called Puppet People, and in that video I focused on stories that all focused around encounters people had with puppets, or maybe something disguising itself as a puppet. Turns out it's a little more common than you would think, because we are back for part two. So this is going to focus on firsthand experiences with puppets, Muppets, but also dolls, that kind of thing. So if that sounds interesting, and it is, trust me, because it's so strange, right? Anyway, if that sounds interesting to you, let's go ahead and get started. First, I'm going to read a story from the Paranormal subreddit. At the time, I lived on a ranch in rural South Texas. My house was built in a square shape with two living rooms, and all the bedrooms and hallways connected via bathrooms, so you could walk around the whole house without hitting a dead end. As a kid, I would sleep in my parents' room, which connected to the back living room slash game room. My parents' bed faces the door leading out to said room, and one night, during a bad thunderstorm, the power went out and I couldn't sleep. Eventually, a flashlight beam appeared on the wall, straight across from the doorway. Out of shock, I sat up and stared at it for what felt like an eternity. After maybe two or so minutes, I started to see someone stick their hands in front of the beam and begin to do hand puppets of a bird and then a dog and then a few more creatures, which I can't explain. But at that point, they were figures you couldn't make with your fingers. I watched in amazement for a few minutes, but then began to realize that both of my parents were lying next to me and we were the only ones in the house. My first instinct was that it was someone outside on the back porch doing this through the glass door, but then I noticed that it couldn't have been due to the angle they would have to be at next to the doorway along the wall. I woke my mother up to look, but she didn't want to budge and told me to go to sleep. At the same time, the hand puppets became more erratic and were changing shape faster and faster. I started to cry, and my mother woke up and looked at me and saw how I was acting. She eventually looked at the doorway, but said she saw nothing. I looked back in the direction, and it was gone. After this, every now and then at night, the flashlight and puppets would come back, and I would try to show my parents, but they would never wake up and catch it on time. I would just cover my head with blankets and hold on to my mother's arm for dear life. As an adult, I can still see the memory of it, clear as day. But the thing that gets me the most is the wall where I would see these puppet shows had some Coca-Cola collectibles on it, and one of them was glow-in-the-dark. And when the shadow of the puppets would cross over it, it would go completely black, as if it had never seen light, and it was just as dark as everything else. And when the show was over, it went back to normal. Okay, so obviously this is a different kind of puppet, a shadow puppet, but I thought it was a very interesting story. I will say there were parts of it where I was kind of getting the vibe of like a no sleep story when they talked about how the figures that the hand was making became more complex and rapid, and that kind of climax seems a little, I don't know, narratively conventional and convenient, but there are other elements of the story that give it a little bit more credibility or make it a little more believable to me. Like, they start off by explaining the architecture or the layout of the house, and I find that as tedious as it is when people go into these details, these kinds of details of the setup of a house or of a room, I do think it lends credibility to a story because, to me, it seems like they're in their head picturing the scene. They're putting themselves back in the moment, and they really want you to understand as well, even though the person who's listening probably doesn't really care what your house looks like. but it matters to the person who's telling it. So to me, that can be kind of a green flag for a believable story. And then they kind of do the same thing at the end. They explain details of the room with the Coca-Cola bottles. So I can't be sure, of course, it's a story on Reddit, but I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt, and it's a very interesting story. So I couldn't help but make the connection that they said that this happened the first time. Seems like it might have repeated a little bit, but the first time that this happened, there was a thunderstorm and the power went out, and then they saw this flashlight beam. I thought that was kind of interesting because that's when you would pull out a flashlight. Not that I'm saying that someone had a flashlight, it's just kind of interesting that the flashlight beam showed up in a situation where you would probably need a flashlight. So, I don't think I've read anything quite like that. I feel like that could also fit in with some of my other videos I do on childhood bedroom experiences, which is probably the most common type of experience, paranormal experience, an experience someone has as a child in their bedroom. Let's move on. All right, so in the main video, I mentioned a story regarding a childhood experience with evil Muppets that was penned by Brian Bethel, who is a journalist now famous for his experience with black-eyed children, which he wrote, he put on the internet in the late 90s, I think, and then it quickly made the rounds and has become kind of a famous internet paranormal story and basically set the tone for black-eyed kid stories and kicked off that particular phenomenon. Not that I think he invented the black-eyed kid experience, but I think he probably popularized it. I could be wrong. I didn't read his Evil Muppets story in the original Puppet People episode, honestly, because I didn't really find it to be genuine, I hate to say, but I think I'll read it now. We've got the time, why not? And then you can decide what you think. So, I believe, from what I can glean from the Wayback Machine, this was originally posted to a Usenet news group where people would discuss paranormal topics and experiences. Honestly, I don't quite get what a Usenet group is. It's not something I was familiar with, but I guess it's like a really early internet private message forum. Anyway, this was the same place where Bethel shared his historic black-eyed kids encounter, and both were then reposted to Obi-Wan's UFO-free paranormal page, which is an institution of the online paranormal community. This was originally posted August 19th, 1994, and the subject of the post was titled, quote, "A Television Tale o' Terror," end quote. It reads, "Hi gang, it's me again with more tales to scare the hell out of ya. Sorry it's taken so long. Though I've responded to several threads, there have been no new stories to spring forth from my terminal in quite some time. I have no idea why I feel compelled to respond to the strange stuff having to do with television thread. I've only told the story once or twice, and although it was believed, at least that's what they told me, by the listeners, it's not something you'd usually post to a news group read by a bajillion people worldwide, but here it is, so deal with it. I will warn you now that this kind of sounds goofy. I honestly don't know if this was the waking dream of a child, something supernatural, or just something I ate. I leave it to you, gentle reader, to decide. But when I think about it, even all these years later, for some reason it just rings true. I don't know why. Maybe with luck, I'll never find out. Okay, here's the scoop. Yes, we newspaper types really do say that. Long ago, when I was about 4 or 5, I stayed over at my grandparents' house for the night. My mom stayed over with me because Dad was out of town on business. Granny and Granddad quite enjoyed their television programs and had a set in each of the 2 bedrooms in the house, as well as in the living room. I was still stupid enough to believe TV's flickering, mind-sucking images were pretty neat, so I was in heaven. Night came on softly, as it only can when you feel safety and warmth around you. With one of Granny's home-cooked meals in my stomach, I had begun to feel the need for slumber. So we all piled in the monstrous king-sized bed in Granny and Granddad's master bedroom, and soon we were all snoring blissfully. I woke up in the night and sat upright, looking around. Something had disturbed my slumber. Granddad was still snoring rhythmically, and Granny looked like she hadn't budged an inch. So I sat back and prepared to visit the realm of dream once more. Then the television turned itself on. Now, this was in the days when remote controls were the providence of the wealthy and debased. Granny and Granddad did not fit into any of those two categories. That sentence does not make sense. Basically, he's saying, or he's trying to say, that remotes for TVs weren't common, and they didn't have one for this TV, meaning you had to go up and physically turn it on. To see a television turn itself on was an interesting thing. I sat up again to see what would come on. At the time, the TV in my grandparents' bedroom was in black and white. I watched the white dots that had formed in the middle expand to full screen, but only the static of a dead channel appeared. Then, images began to appear. Muppets! The Muppets were on. I was exalted, elated. I wanted to wake my grandparents up, but I then started to feel a bit uncomfortable about what was happening on the television. Muppets did not usually have fangs, as I recall, at least not ones that looked so real and out of place in an otherwise standard Muppet-style mouth. I realize this is sounding goofy. You were warned. Well, uncertain about what to do, I decided to keep a close watch on the television. The quote-unquote Muppets looked at me. It was common, of course, on Sesame Street and The Muppet Show for them to acknowledge the audience, so I wasn't alarmed so much by that. I describe these things as Muppets because that's primarily what they looked like. Other than the rows and rows of unusual teeth, one looked vaguely Grover-esque, and the other sort of reminded me of Harry Monster from Sesame Street. The Grover-esque Muppet leaned over and pointed at me while whispering something to his companion. They looked at me in unison, whispering all the while in a strange, unusually guttural tongue. It sounded completely random, although it did somehow seem to follow the meter and pattern of a language. I noticed when the Grover-esque Muppet pointed, he had very long, distinct talons on his furry hands. This, too, was quite disturbing. The Muppets began to dance, sing, and cavort about in that strange language of theirs. It was sort of amusing, I recall. I began to feel a bit more at ease. The Muppets motioned for me to come forward. I shook my head. The Muppets tried again. I shook my head. I was beginning to feel frightened. If there was ever a way that Muppets could look pissed, these guys were doing it. With all those rows of fangs, it wasn't pretty. I should mention that all of this singing, dancing, cavorting horror that was going on seemed to in no way disturb my grandparents. This disturbed me as well, because these guys were loud. I got out of bed and crept into the living room, being careful to avoid approaching the screen. The Muppet things wore visages of absolute anger now, motioning violently for me to approach the screen. My attempts to rouse my grandmother and grandfather were in vain. They would not stir. I ran into the living room, crying. I collapsed in my granddad's chair, buried my face into the fabric, and began to weep, certain that doom had come for me. I looked over at the television in the corner of the living room. It had already begun to turn itself on. The shadow forms that had dissolved into the Henson-styled horrors already beginning to flicker across its screen. I screamed, rooted to the spot, but as the scream left my lungs and two grinning, fanged faces burst into being on the television screen, faintly and then with increasing tempo, I heard footsteps. The things in the television looked worried, swirled into their shadow forms, and were gone. The television winked out just as my mother ran into the room. After consoling me, we went to check on Granny and Granddad. They were both awake and had heard me scream. We all sat up for a while talking, and eventually the warmth and love returned to fill the chill in my soul. I went to bed and nothing more happened that night, or any other nights I stayed with my grandparents. A waking dream? Probably so, but one that still fills me with terror. I was awake, of course. Mom will still assert when I was in the chair, so I did move somehow from the bed to the chair. Still, it gives one pause. What better way to snare a young boy than to show him something he loves, then pull him in unawares? Whatever those two things are, I'm sure the Muppet forms were not their natural shape. I'm sure the fangs and talons were part of it, though. If they're still out there, I hope they haven't had much time to practice those forms. If they could get them just right, I still wonder what would have happened. Dream or not, if I had put my then small hands up to the screen there in my grandparents' bedroom, perhaps nothing. And then again, perhaps it's better not to know. Next time, I'll post some real ghost stories, but the TV thread made me remember this. In case you're wondering, I don't watch much television anymore. It all seems so diabolical. Well, there you have it. I'll be honest, that was really hard for me to read. I tried not to get too sarcastic when I was reading it. I could get excessively nitpicky about it and be kind of a hater, but basically, I just don't like the way that he writes. I'll leave it at that, but the way he writes is part of the reason that I don't believe that it's a genuine experience and that it's not just a piece of fiction. Now, he did say at the end, next time I'll post some real ghost stories, but I'm guessing that he meant stories that involve ghosts and not something that falls into a different paranormal category. At least that's the benefit of the doubt I'm going to give him for that. I get that he is a writer. He's a journalist. So maybe he's hardwired to write like that. I don't know. It's not usually how people write their real experiences, even if you are a fiction writer. I don't know. We have examples of that. You can write your story, your experience, well and make it a compelling story and not make it this flamboyant piece. I don't know. I said I wasn't going to get nitpicky, but it also doesn't help that the story is just pretty hard to believe. But I read a lot of hard-to-believe stories and believe them. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh. He said he was 22 at the time, and he wrote it in 1994. Anyway, please let me know what you think. I originally came across this story, the Brian Bethel story, in a Reddit post that mentioned it and then linked to the Unexplained Mysteries forum, which had the story copied and pasted, yada, yada, yada. This Brian Bethel story is all over the internet, and now we've just added one more place. Anyway, there are some interesting comments on that Reddit post where I found it posted as well that I would like to read. So this is from a post on the Humanoid Encounters subreddit where someone posted the Evil Muppets Brian Bethel story. The OP of this thread, A Talking Pizza Box, says, quote, "It's one of the creepiest and weirdest damn encounters I've ever heard of, especially with the fact that we tend to think of Muppets as being friendly, funny puppets and nothing sinister. Does anyone know of any other similar accounts to this?" End quotes. Tony Bob Kenobi says, quote, "This took place in roughly 1989 or 1990. When I was like 5 years old, I saw a purple hippopotamus Muppet in my bedroom. Just reading some of these comments gave me chills. It looked soft and furry, and I screamed my head off till my parents came running in. I never saw it again and always chalked it up to my imagination, but aliens have always been one of my fears in the dark. And I'll be damned if hearing that it could have been an alien makes sense. It was as tall as the doorknob on my closet, so maybe around 3'6". It looked friendly enough. Plush, purple skin, black mouth, red tongue, white, round teeth. It had a hat on, a rainbow baseball cap with a propeller on top. It kind of danced, but I could only see its head because I was in bed and it was right next to the bed, and as I said, it was short. It seemed to be standing on its hind legs. I screamed as loud as I could because I knew it shouldn't be there. As soon as my parents came in, it was gone. They never found a trace of it, and I never saw it again. That's about all I remember. End quote. Comments from Josh the Lemon says, quote, reading this has me reeling. I had an incident as a teen involving small blue Muppet creatures. They were acting like they were throwing a party in my room when I woke up. I said, this is fake. I don't believe in you. And then a larger gray / big head thing sort of floated out of my closet. All of the blue Muppet puppet things peeled off their masks, and they were smaller, scary alien things. The big one held my head and said, not out loud, but I heard it, we were trying to make this easier for you, but I guess that's not happening now. I was crying, terrified. Then, while still holding my head, it said, you're not ready. Then I woke up in my bed. This was the mid-90s. I've never heard anyone else mention Muppets or anything related to this before. I've only told a few close friends about this, who listened while winking and entertaining the possibility that I'm delusional, and a few therapists. I've had other incidents, but I've always held back in my mind that maybe they were all dreams, because honestly, that feels way more comfortable. So, you can tell from these comments and these threads that more people feel like they've had these experiences than you would think. And we have a lot more to go. So let's go ahead and move on to our next one. This next one was posted on the Paranormal subreddit. And the post is titled, Muppet Clown Entity Bullied Me as a Child. I've had a plethora of strange experiences in my life. In this instance, I will start with the earliest one that I remember. I had an active imagination as a kid. I had imaginary friends that I would talk to, even when I was around actual people. I can account for all of these imaginary friends as normal. I mean, they were either characters from TV shows or cartoons that I would watch, so I consider them normal. All except one. This is what I remember. I was very young and had been sick with a fever and cold. I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I was young enough that I was wearing a pajama onesie with the built-in socks at the feet. I was being carried up the stairs by my aunt and was telling her to hurry up or the Cookie Monster thing will get us. The Cookie Monster is a real character from a kid's show, but it was not the real Cookie Monster that I was afraid of. I called it the Cookie Monster because this thing I would see had very similar eyes to Cookie Monster. It was the only way I could describe it with my limited vocabulary at the time. It looked like a long hand puppet with a white shirt that would billow and ripple because it had no torso. It could stretch and grow to different lengths. Its arms were like metal rods that could extend out quickly and strike me in a way similar to a snake bite. It would always slap me open-palmed or with two fingers, index and pointer fingers. The hands had on white gloves, just like Bugs Bunny or Mickey Mouse. The head was perfectly rounded, just like a beach ball. It had curly hair that would change color from orange to blue. Its face was painted white, and it had a mouth which would twist and contort in very terrifying ways as it would hit me. The eyes bulged out of the head and moved on their own, just like the googly eyes on kids' toys or puppets. I remember my aunt giggled because she thought I was being cute, but this thing was actually very terrifying to me. It would always pop out of the walls from the cracks of the trim or the drywall, and it would always poke me very, very hard. It would always leave me sore where it hit me, and often with cramped muscles. I would cry and complain about this thing hitting me, but as you could guess, this only got me scolded for making up fibs, so I stopped talking about it. I have one very distinct memory of lying in my bed and having this thing pop up from in between the bed and the wall. It would kind of slither upwards. It cocked back and swung at me with not a closed fist, but with its index and middle finger, and struck me harder than ever before right in the armpit. My aunt happened to be about 20 feet away at the time. She was blow-drying her hair before school. She screamed in horror and ran out of the room. I remember her telling my grandparents and my mom that I should be seen by a doctor because, and I quote, he literally flew out of that bed like something pushed him. I remember her words exactly. I was never taken to a doctor, and the incident was never discussed again. I got a bit older, and eventually the things stopped popping out of the walls and hitting me. But I did have a recurring dream for many years in which I would try and escape from the creature. It would always take place in the same second-story bedroom, and it would always end the same way. I would figure a way out of the room window and end up on the lawn below. I would stare up at the window, and the creature would stare back in a calm, confident way. Not angry I had escaped, but confident that this chase would happen again, and it would definitely get me next time. After about the first year of high school, the dreams stopped. I have not seen the Muppet Clown since, nor do I care to. I realize the Muppet Clown was probably just a manifestation of some fear or trauma that I had experienced, but could not process as a child. But I have to wonder, what if this was something more sinister? So, that story's a little rough. That's very horrible what they went through. And, like they said, I don't know. Maybe it was just some kind of repressed memory of something, some kind of abuse they suffered, and this was how their mind chose to remember it or something. I don't know. It's very strange and very specific and detailed, all these details that they remember about the creature. So I don't want to speculate too much on that one because it's really just horrible. It sounds so traumatic and terrible that they suffered some kind of actual physical abuse and a lot of emotional torment from whatever was going on, Muppet Clown or something else. But it did resonate with people. I'm going to read a comment that was left by Atreus94. Quote, I experienced basically this exact same thing when I was around 3 to 7-ish years old. The clownish thing you describe tormented me as well. Often, it would only appear when I was in bed trying to go to sleep. Mine had hair that was blue on either side and red down the middle, pale white face paint color skin, sharp teeth and eyes that were contorted into an angry look, but had the Muppet eyes behind the contorted eyebrows, Mickey Mouse gloves that would sometimes be bigger than at other times, and a typical clown outfit. When my bedroom door was open against the wall, the clown would be hiding behind it, and it would taunt me and wave to me with its Mickey Mouse gloves. It would make an effort to try and scare me by making me jump. Obviously, I would get scared and scream for my mom. She would come running in, and with the turn of the light switch, the clown would vanish. This happened multiple times throughout my young childhood, and it was seriously scary. My mom and grandma would play it off as my imagination, telling me it was Peter Pan coming to visit me. I knew it wasn't Peter Pan. This thing was very much real, and I'm quite shocked to read that someone else suffered nearly the same exact torment that I did. Just like the OP, mine was physical too. When I would lay in bed, I would be awoken by something hitting on top of my bedsheets or something tugging on my hair. I would obviously turn around, and to my surprise, I would see the clown poking his head out from behind the door, just staring at me. This only happened when I had my back to the door it usually hid behind. My bed was at the other side of the room from the door as well, so for this thing to be hitting me or pulling my hair from across the room means it had extendable arms. I never saw it use its arms in such a way, but I'm just guessing, because for it to touch me, it would need very long arms. I just knew this thing was bad by the way it hit me, and the way it would jump out from behind the door to scare me sometimes. I don't know if you know the feeling of knowing that something is bad, but yeah, that's the feeling I always got when I saw it. It was evil, and I knew it. End quote. Again, a horrible, horrible experience that goes beyond just seeing something creepy in your room. And you have to wonder why it takes the form of a clown or a puppet or something that resembles something that's a child's toy or a character for child's entertainment. And I don't know if it's an actual physical entity. You know, they said that they believe that it was. If it is, or even if it's just some kind of repressed memory or something, why that form? It's disturbing. I don't know. Again, I won't speculate too much, and I'm not going to say what happened to each person because I don't know, and it's very troubling. So hopefully they got some solace or it helped them in some way to share that and at least see that someone else had experienced something similar, because I imagine that would be a very isolating thing to deal with, because it is so strange and so unbelievable, and I would think that not very many people can relate, but at least someone does. And I'm sure people who have experiences as a child that are upsetting, that aren't specifically a puppet or a Muppet creature, but are some kind of other unexplainable, possibly paranormal experience, can relate to how these people felt and how it stays with you into adulthood, right? That is worth noting. You know, it stays with you, so it doesn't do any good to tell someone that it didn't happen or it didn't exist, I don't think, because they still have the emotions and the memory of what happened. And there's more encounters. We have a few more. So if you can handle more, let's keep reading. This one is from the Humanoid Encounters Reddit, and it's called "Ready to Talk About Something I Encountered as a Child." Just stumbled across this sub and wanted to talk about something that has been on my mind since I was around 6 years old. I lived in a very old house in Maryland when I was very young, and vividly remember waking up to some kind of entity staring at me through my window many nights. The best way I could describe it was that it looked like something like Ernie from Sesame Street, minus the hair, and with dark black eyes. It always put off some kind of orange/red luminescence from its entire body. Every time I saw this thing through my window, I'd throw my blanket over my head and do my best to go to sleep. Anytime after I'd wake up after one of these encounters, I'd find myself almost with my nose to the ceiling and then fall back down into my bed. The thoughts of it have plagued me for years. If anyone has experienced something similar or seen the same thing, please let me know. I vividly remember these experiences and absolutely know they weren't a dream. Weird. So following each of these Muppet experiences, they would wake up either in an out-of-body state or actually floating. Also, if you don't know, I have a whole video on childhood floating, or childhood levitation is what it's called. Very common. Another weird, very common thing. Also, the description they gave of the dark black eyes made me think that's another detail that someone would probably hear and maybe think of this as a screen memory. A screen memory is a term in ufology where someone sees an extraterrestrial being, like a gray alien, but when they recall the memory, they remember seeing something else in place of the gray alien. Owls are another thing that are alleged to be a common screen memory. I have a video about that too. But the reason is, or maybe the reason is that they have those inky, eerie black eyes that gray aliens are said to have. And this person said that the Muppet that they saw looking through their window has dark black eyes. And a lot of people who think they have had a screen memory of an alien that manifests as an owl, they'll often remember seeing owls looking in through their window with those deep black eyes. I love owls, and I do not want to see an owl looking in through my window. That would be terrifying. Those eyes are just really otherworldly, and I absolutely love owls, but there is something about those eyes. Now, I'm not saying that this is a screen memory, and I'm not saying that the stories that we read, the comments in the stories that we read earlier, are screen memories either. But the fact that the Muppet was staring in through the window, has stark black eyes, and then the witness found themselves to be floating. Those are just details that someone, me I guess, could draw parallels to abduction experiences. And I'm not the only one. People in the comments speculate that as well, but the OP says that they would rather not speculate. Quote, "All I know is it had some degree of high strangeness to it that I can't explain," end quote. They also say, quote, "All I have to remember it by is a small scar on my thumb knuckle. Recent x-rays have not turned up anything out of the ordinary from it," end quote. They also said they tried hypnotherapy and it turned up nothing. Touching on the floating they would experience after seeing the Muppet, they write, I'd wake up with my face towards the ceiling, and it would be as if someone was holding me up and just dropped me into my bed. Sometimes I wouldn't even remember going to sleep. I'd see the entity in the window, and then the next thing I knew, bam, taking a spill back into my bed. Guess I should be thankful it didn't drop me onto the floor. End quote. I know that falling dreams are quite common, and I remember having a couple as a kid. They would always be where I would be falling from the sky into my backyard, and at the last second before I would hit the ground, I would wake up, or I would fall into a bed that was in my backyard, and when I hit the bed, I would wake up. But that sensation of falling would be so strong and real. It really felt like you had just been plummeting through the air. I don't remember having any as an adult. I think I only had them as a kid. The OP insists that even though these occurred seemingly just after sleep, these experiences, they were awake when they found themselves to be floating. And they don't seem to imply that they were out of body, but I was thinking that maybe they don't know for sure because they were facing the ceiling and nearly touching it with their nose. So that makes me think that they probably couldn't turn their head to see if they saw their body lying in bed or not. But yeah, I find the childhood floating and levitation thing really interesting. Lastly, from this thread, I will read a brief comment from Absurd Kitty. They write, quote, I was terrified to sleep in my room as a child because the Count from Sesame Street would climb in my window at night. I usually only saw him in shadow. I just remember being absolutely terrified of the Count, and specifically that he was coming in my window at night. Whether or not that was actually happening, I can't say for sure. I was about 5 or 6 years old when I lived at the house that it happened in. It only happened there, and not at any other place I lived as a child. It's something that always stuck with me, and I still get uneasy if Sesame Street is on and he pops up. I had really chalked it up to my imagination or something until I came across a thread a while back where others experienced similar things with other Sesame Street characters and weird things like that. The fact that it has happened to so many other people is really freaky, though. I don't know what to make of it. End quote. So, this is a great opportunity to transition to a story I found on the Phantoms and Monsters website. This was posted August 23rd, 2018. This happened when I was an infant. I was born in November 1971, which is why I believe that my experience happened sometime in early 1972. It is my first memory, and I remember it clearly. This experience occurred in Downey, California. My mom laid me in my crib and left the room. I was laying in my crib when out from under my crib emerged Big Bird. Big Bird sang songs to me, made jokes, and entertained me. I remember that I liked it, and it made me giggle. Then Big Bird crawled back under my crib. A few seconds later, Ernie came out from under my crib. Ernie also made jokes, talked to me, and made me giggle. Ernie then crawled under my crib, and a few seconds later, out came the Count. The Count began to perform magic for me, but I wasn't as keen on seeing the Count. He was a vampire, and he frightened me. I began to cry. The Count became upset when he saw me crying and tried to shush me. He kept asking me not to cry and to be quiet. The Count then looked back at my closed bedroom door, looked alarmed, and then rushed under my crib. A split second after the Count had disappeared under my crib, my grandmother came in. I was screaming by this time out of fear. I remember my grandmother changing my diaper, then leaving the room. I was angry with her because I wanted her to pick me up and take me out of the room because I was terrified. Unfortunately, I couldn't yet talk, and my screams did nothing to make her pick me up. I also believe that I was a young enough infant that I couldn't yet roll over because the entire experience happened as I laid on my back. I shared my experience with friends growing up, but was never believed and was typically told I must have been dreaming. I don't believe I was dreaming. I always believed that this was some strange paranormal event that left enough of an impression that I remember it, even though I was so young at the time. My belief that it was real was confirmed one day. In my memory of this event, I can remember a specific wallpaper that was in my bedroom at the time of the visit. Years later, as a teenager, I asked my mother if I had such wallpaper in my room as a baby. She confirmed that, yes, I did have that wallpaper, but she couldn't believe that I remembered it because I was an infant at the time. She also told me that right after she had me, we lived with my grandparents for several months until she could get on her feet and find a place for the two of us, and that it was at my grandparents' house where the wallpapered room was. I have no recollection of living with my grandparents as an infant, but the fact that my grandmother came in to change my diaper after my experience further confirms to me that this must have been an actual memory and not a dream. I also find it interesting that in my experience, the visitor also seemed to know when an adult was approaching the room and made a hasty exit. I wonder how many other children were visited during this time by quote-unquote friendly Sesame Street characters. So I'm sure this witness is fully aware that the main criticism people will have is the age that they were or believed they were at the time of this event. Regardless of if you find this incredulous or not, because of their age and them claiming it to be their very first memory, the sentiment stands that many people recall experiences where they found themselves physically confronted by cartoon characters in their waking life, albeit in their bedroom, and found them to be frightening, menacing, sinister, and even harmful. And after the fact, they find themselves uncomfortable when confronted with the images of these children's TV characters, such as those from Sesame Street. In the comments of the last Reddit story I read, the OP wrote, quote, "It's seriously creepy that others have had similar experiences. To this day, the only things that give me the heebie-jeebies are any pictures of Ernie or any depiction of the little gray aliens, like the cover of Communion. Don't think there's a connection, but who knows?" End quote. I think it makes sense why people would be creeped out by the cover of Communion by Whitley Strieber. In fact, I think it's designed to have that effect on you. But Sesame Street characters, Muppets, puppets, are kind of the opposite. Designed and displayed to children to make them happy. Although the same can be said for clowns, and plenty of people are terrified of those. So, does it take a strange experience like one of the ones we read tonight to be disturbed by the sight of a puppet? Or is there something inherently creepy about them in the first place that make them a good candidate for these nightmarish encounters? Puppets do kind of have that uncanny quality about them. Their voices are usually very exaggerated and expressive, but their actual faces are limited in how much they can emote and change. They're that weird mix of natural and unnatural, and I think they do dip right into that uncanny valley that sets off alarm bells in the human brain that says imposter. That being said, it's kind of funny how literal the implication of one of these puppet creatures serving as some sort of screen memory or disguise for a supernatural entity is. I do find these types of experiences really fascinating because they do fall into that high strangeness category, almost bordering on the absurd. But as we can see, it's not necessarily unheard of or even that uncommon. So, lastly, I would like to read a comment that was left on the original Puppet People video on YouTube. This was left by Dizzy Duratum, who shared their own strange doll experience. They wrote, quote, "I had a large toddler doll walk slowly out of my bedroom and touch my arm as I was laying down on her couch. It was the most frightening thing I've ever encountered, and I've seen pale crawlers. I think it may have been one of my great-grandmothers trying to comfort me after she died. Not very comforting. I was about 10 years old and deep in grief from my great-grandmother passing away. It actually was an antique doll that belonged to my mother. I was very much awake when it happened, sometime in the middle of the night. It wasn't sleep paralysis, but I was literally frozen in fear and deaf from a loud static sound in my head, except for the sound of small footsteps on carpet. I passed out from fear after it touched me. I broke it to pieces the next morning with a hammer. My mother was pissed about it until I told her why I did it. She believed me, and we never spoke about it again. My eyes were open from the point I heard it hop down from the dresser that it sat on as it walked out of my bedroom until it touched my arm. I saw it. It was absolutely not a dream. That is absolutely horrifying. And like they said, even though they feel like it could have been some sort of contact that their great-grandmother was trying to make, I think she chose the wrong approach. Just the visualization of one of those old, I'm thinking of an old little porcelain-faced dolls, just hopping off the dresser and landing on the carpet and walking over, just touching you with their little rigid porcelain arm. It also reminds me of the movie Dolls. I think it's directed by Stuart Gordon, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, really, really good movie. It's on YouTube for free if you haven't seen it. It's so good. So I have to thank Dizzy for sharing that truly chilling experience. I think they handled it the right way by smashing the doll to bits. Luckily, their mother agreed with them. It is interesting that they said that they heard a loud static in their head. I wonder if that was some kind of physical reaction that they just had from the fear and the shock, or if it was something connected to the experience. I don't know. And Dizzy, if you're listening, give us your thoughts on that and any other details you might want to share about that. Thank you for sharing that in the first place. I always love reading people's comments and emails. And with that, we have another Puppet People show on the books. Is it the last one? Well, I've exhausted my archives for now, but at this point, I won't be surprised to find more in the future. Let me know your thoughts, if you have any. So it's not literally the characters from Sesame Street. It can't be, right? So what is it? It's something taking the form of them. It's your mind projecting their imagery onto them. I know definitely there's some people who think that it's just some kind of dream or hallucination or something. Or as the person from the Muppet Clown story said, it could be some kind of psychological revision of a trauma suffered. I honestly don't know. I just think it's so interesting, this very specific phenomenon of seeing puppets and characters. I think that seeing TV show characters like Sesame Street characters is interesting, but I find it a little more intriguing and fascinating when the puppets that people see are not a character. It's almost like an original kind of puppet. It's not a pre-existing character. So I find that really strange. It's easier to say if it is like a Sesame Street character that it's something that your mind already had. It's imagery that you already had in your mind. There's something undeniably strange and unsettling and, as I said, almost absurd about these stories. But we'll wrap it up here for now. Thank you so much for joining me. I will be back soon. And until next time, take care and good night.